Welcome to the Incredible Dr. Polecast, the first Incredible Dr. Polecast. I am Charles Pole. I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the Incredible Dr. Pole himself.
Well, Charles, that's very nice of you, but I'm still alive. So twit telecom, like I'm a dead man already.
Yeah, we're also joined by producer of the Incredible Dr. Pole, John Schroeder.
Hello.
And also producer of Incredible Dr. Pole, Michael Stankovich.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about a variety of different topics today. We hope that you guys will get a little bit of behind-the-scenes glimpse of the Incredible Dr. Pole and a little bit more of a taste of who we are as people.
Of course, you know, I am Dr. Pole, and no, I am not incredible as many people think so, but it's a fun show, and I hope everybody that is listening also is watching the show and likes it. It is a show that has now been on the air for quite a while, but we think that we will try to reach more fans through our podcasts. What do you think, Charles?
I hope so. I hope so. You know, I think we should start off with some fan questions. And one of the most common questions that we get from fans is how this whole thing came about. How did Nat Geo Wild find the Incredible Dr. Pole?
Well, I don't think that it is a question of that they found us. I think we shoved the show on the nose and they took it.
Yeah, it's a great show. We're really proud of it. But to go back to actually how the show got created, you have to go back 5 years.
Six years, Charles.
I'm getting old. 6 years to Los Angeles, turn back the clocks. And I was working for Nickelodeon, and I was driving in a car one day with the man sitting across from me, Jonathan Schroeder, and I was telling him a story about my dad. I can't remember. Do you remember what story it was, John?
Absolutely. It was a story of Christmas time. I believe you were 9 or 10 years old, and Dr. Pole got an emergency farm call, and it turned out there was a problem with a cow. Long story short, you were 10 years old on Christmas Eve holding a cow's stomach along with your two siblings.
I don't think that was the stomach. I think that was the uterus, but that's neither here nor there.
It felt like a stomach. I mean, as a 10-year-old child, how are you going to tell the difference between a stomach and a uterus?
Well, not really, but the one is dirty, the other one is clean. The whole secret is it's both wet, slippery, and heavy. And yes, Charles was very good hanging on to it while I was sewing things up after the calf came out.
So I was telling John the story, and you know, we were working in Los Angeles at the time. We were making what's called sizzle reels, which is kind of like a sales tape for reality shows. And we just kind of came up with the idea. John's like, why don't we just film a reality show about your dad? I mean, he sounds like such a character. So we got a plane ticket for a cameraman, John Schroeder, myself, and Patrick Garney, and we flew out to Michigan. And I think the first day, John and I looked at each other and realized that this was definitely a show.
Absolutely. And, you know, we originally came out here, I think Patrick and myself, and maybe even you, Charles, we never anticipated what we were going to get on tape. It was almost a visit with, hey, come and meet my parents, and we're going to bring some cameras along the way. But you're right, after that first day, I believe after the first castration, when your dad took the testicles and he said, that's how you do it, and threw them on the ground, I think we all knew something special could potentially happen with the show. I mean, never in my wildest dreams did I think it would become what it is today, but you could definitely see there was something there.
Yeah, there was definitely something there. And, you know, we took it around to a bunch of different networks, and National Geographic agreed with us. And, you know, that's the long story short. That's how the show became a show. The funny thing is, though, is when the show was originally we showed up for the first season, I was never meant to be part of the cast. I was going to be a producer only and be behind the camera, but we were just going to do one episode where Charles comes home. That was the title.
Something like that, yes. But yeah. Then again, you know, Charles and I have a very good understanding. You know, I yell and he runs most of the time. But in the meantime, you know, it was that we were bantering together. And the way we are interacting in the show is real. You know, at the end of the day, Charles is my son and I love him. And yes, I may yell at him sometimes. He yells at me off camera. But in the meantime, it is something that people like to see the way it sounds. The thing is, Charles was not interested in veterinary medicine when he was a kid. He was a lot more interested in movies. And of course, that has not changed at all. The nice thing is that his career and my career now has come together again. And this is something that I'm very thankful for.
Are you surprised how much knowledge Charles has retained from when he was a kid?
Compared to the people in the crew, it's amazingly how much he knows, yes. But then again, he got yelled at probably. You're in the wrong way. It's much what is happening to the people in the crew now. Hey, if you stand there, that cow will not go that direction. You got to move.
It was a dicey first couple of years. It was a couple of years before I got the knack of working with the animals. Now I go out there and I'm a lot more comfortable. But for the first couple of years, I tell you, I was constantly getting corrected.
Yes.
On how to do stuff.
But what I hate is have somebody hurt around me, whether it's a farmer, a farmer's kid, or somebody that rides with me. You know, through all the years that I've been a veterinarian, I've learned how to read animals. So I can tell whether this cow is going to charge you or turn tail. Horses, same thing. You know, so you learn how to read animals. And once you know that, you can be safe. But if you do not understand what an animal, and especially these 1,500-pound cows or horses, can do, then you have a big chance that sometimes you get the worst end of the deal. So this is what I'm watching out for. Make sure that nobody around me gets hurt. Luckily, you know, if you go back 45 years, you know, yes, I've been kicked, but knock on wood, I have never had a broken bone caused by an animal. The worst thing that happened to me was when a cow ran into my stiff hand when I tried to stop it, and my rotator cuff broke. But the surgery was a very big success, and my left arm is as good as it ever was.
Well, it can be dangerous. I mean, we've had a couple of close calls. And I remember season two, we had a cameraman go out on a farm call. And people will remember, if you go back to season two, there was a beef cow that was going mad in a fence in a paddock in a field. And this cameraman went out there before we got there. And the farmer, he says to the farmer, he says, is that cow friendly? And the farmer says, sure, you can walk right up to him. So our cameraman walks right up to him and gets down and is taking all these beautiful shots. And next thing he knows, the cow's getting a little closer and a little closer in the camera until it runs right over top of him and sends him to the hospital. So that was a pretty close call for our crew. But we haven't had any significant injuries.
No, because since that time, I made the rule. It says nobody gets in a pen with an animal until I get there. And yes, you know, sometimes that rule gets not quite followed.
Bent.
The rule gets bent a little bit. But it has shown the people what is possible with these animals. And I think that's very important. But they realize that, you know, not every animal is a pet.
I think that people would be surprised. I remember when we were first filming this, was one of the first days we went out to a farm call. And it was just, I believe, a pregnancy check for two cows. But we were out in the free stalls, which means that the cows are just able to move wherever they want to go. They're not tied up. They can go lay down or they
can
go in the
stall.
Yeah, it's a free stall. Well, some people don't know what a free stall is.
Well,
so
it's a free stall.
Okay.
You know, the stall is free so they can walk around in the stall.
But the point of the story is that, you know, you got these dairy cows, which everyone thinks are just docile animals. But I tell you, when you get surrounded by a crowd of animals, it can get pretty uncomfortable, can it, John?
Absolutely, and that scene in particular is what raised the eyebrows of some network executives. If we can digress a little bit, every network except for one told us that we were crazy for this project. The word was, and this is verbatim from one of the networks, says, no one wants to watch an old man stick his arm up a cow's butt. And the fact that today that there are so many veterinarian shows. And that was number one. Number two was the rule of Hollywood was vet shows don't work. That was just in their Bible. You know, vet shows do not work. It's one of their.
Well, they've had a few vet shows around, but, you know, they didn't pan out.
Well, none of them were quite like this. I mean, that's the thing. Before The Incredible Dr. Pohl, I'm not sure that there was ever a large animal vet show out there. I mean, we were definitely different. I remember discussing it. There was one network in particular that when we went and met the person, they said, oh, man, I wish I could buy this show. I really want to buy this show, except I did a farm show, and it was a huge failure. And if I do another farm show, I'm going to get in trouble with my bosses. So they passed on it. But Nat Geo Wild, to their credit, they saw exactly what the potential that the show had, the energy that you bring to it, Dad, because I think that's the one thing. You might be old, but you're not. You don't act old. You act young at heart. Heck, sometimes I think you're younger than I am and have more energy than I do.
Well, I can't keep going longer, yes, because you know, I still have no problem doing 100 pregnancy checks in a few hours. And that is something that, you know, I've done through all these years. What we show in the show with the animal basically is the
reality.
Real thing,
it's real. It's real reality television. And
yes. That
is also, I remember having a, you know, I've done a couple other shows besides this one. And I remember sitting in a meeting and talking to a guy who wrote scripts for Duck Dynasty. And, you know, they'll just sit around a table and have a table read, and it's shot like just like a regular TV show. So our television show definitely breaks the mold in that way.
Completely. And this is something that I enjoy because it does bring the American farmer back into the American living room in a good light, where so many organizations have said that farmers abuse their cows. We show them differently. We show where the farmer is taking care of his cows, where he has feeling for his cows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that. I mean, you can see like the successful farmers in our area, they definitely, they're some of they actually care. I mean, I've seen actually a farmer cry because he had to put down one of his cows that he had for a really long time. And you wouldn't expect that from a farmer maybe, but to tell you the truth, that these guys work really hard because they love what they do. They love their animals.
That's correct.
And they go out. They don't have days off. These
no.
guys don't have a
no.
day off. We talked to a guy and I said, hey, when's the last day off you had? And he said 20 years ago.
And he's probably right.
And that's about it. Stay tuned, folks. Dr. Pohl needs to get a cup of coffee. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Incredible Dr. Pohlcast. I think we have a caller on the line.
First caller.
Our first caller.
Ever.
So let's go ahead and take the call.
First caller, here we go.
Hello, you're on with the Incredible Dr. Pohl.
Hello?
Yeah, this is
Hi.
Charles Pohl. How are you? What's your name?
Oh, I'm good. My name's Katie.
All right, Katie. Well, you're on with the Incredible Dr. Pohl. Do you have a question or comment for him?
I love watching you guys. Yes, I do. I have a really quick question. I have a Rottweiler. He's going to be 4. His name is Shadow, and he's very playful. And every time we come back from him playing in the park, or he does his running, he'll lay down, but he'll get up and he'll start limping on his right leg. And I feel him, and I push and squish, and I just don't see he's in any pain.
Rottweilers, how big is he? How much does he weigh?
He's about 110 pounds.
Okay. These big breeds have a lot of problems. I didn't hear. I was talking to. Say it again, please.
No, he's very fit. He's a fit doggy. His parents, so my cousin has his mom and his dad, and you know neither one of them had hip problems. But that doesn't matter, right?
No. So what the question was? He's lame. That's what I understood.
Well, he limps on his right leg.
Right, right rear leg.
Down when he comes from playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, many times.
But then it goes away. He doesn't do it.
Right. That is because he probably has a little bit of a hip dysplasia that is not serious yet. My suggestion that if you have a chance, have an X-ray taken and see what the hips look like on the X-ray. And that will tell you, you know, how bad the hips are, if the hips are not that bad. Anything like this on an X-ray can tell you and help you out and maybe give you an answer why he's limping on that one leg.
Yeah, but he doesn't do it all day. It's only when he runs around and he comes back and he's tired and then he gets up, that's when he starts limping.
Right. Right. That, like I said, that many times happens when there's a little bit too much exercise. And if there's a little bit of a hip dysplasia, then this is probably why. And you can see that with an X-ray.
Thank you for calling in, caller.
Wish I could plop him in my car and drive to Michigan.
that would be nice, but it's... Okay, that's a long ways. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Doc, I think that may be common, too, because I notice when I throw the ball for my dog, if I really give it to him for a good hour and I really exhaust him, he's going to be limping the next day or he's going to be sore the next day. So I guess moderation's the key.
That's the whole secret, yes.
All right, we have another caller. Hi, you're on with the incredible Dr. Pohl. This is Charles. What's your name?
Cactus.
Cactus.
Well, are you talking to me? Oh, I'm really on.
You're really on.
Hello, Cactus.
Do you have a question for Dr. Pohl?
Yeah, well, one thing I always wanted to know, he treated a zebra that I think it actually died, but, you know, he was giving them probiotics.
Yes,
and
I was.
Yeah, I know, but I thought, well, that's really good, but... How long do you have to do that for? The rest of their lives or like 2 weeks?
Most of the time you do probiotics for a limited time, anywhere between a week and 10 days, 2 weeks, because the probiotics have bacteria in there that are good for the digestion in your intestines. This little zebra had been on antibiotics for so long that there was nothing left. As it turned out, that was not really the problem. The problem was that all the medicine actually made his liver so bad that he could not use any of the food that he was ingesting.
Yeah. Oh, well, all right. I got another question. I'm looking at my dog here who's scratching and there's no fleas. I mean, it's way too cold. But she gets these, like, I thought it was dandruff. So I gave her a bath in vinegar. But now it's just still white flakes, and I put olive oil in her food.
Okay. That many times has something to do either with the shampoo being too harsh or some allergies, and many times that's too food. Make sure that you have a high-quality dog food, and they say that...
I buy it at Costco.
Yeah, the main thing is that there's no grain in there.
Right.
Okay.
Years old and she just started doing this, but it's been fantastic talking to you.
Thank you very much, Cactus.
Fantastic.
Thank you for calling in.
You and your family.
Will do.
So dogs are pretty sensitive as far as allergies go. I mean, are a lot of them allergic to gluten or is
not,
it just
not really the gluten, it is the grain that's in there. Not every dog is a allergic to this, but yes, we see it more and more, it seems like. Why that is, I don't know. The biggest problem is that dog food has a lot of preservatives in there too, and I think that might be part of the problem too, but that is my own personal experience where, dogs do better on, common food. No grain, no corn, and my dogs have been on a chicken and rice diet, and I've never had any problems with any skin problems. And as well as you well know, Charles, Freya lived to be 10 years old, and she never had skin problems.
Can dogs get peanut allergies? Should you be careful about feeding, like, peanut butter as a snack? I mean, could they be allergic to it?
I don't think peanut butter is hurting that. I think it's the whole peanuts that's more of a problem. The peanut, I have never heard of a dog being allergic to peanuts because I don't think they eat enough.
All right, we have another caller on the line. We'll go ahead and go to the next caller. Hello, you're on with the incredible Dr. Pohl. This is Charles Pohl. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Audrey.
Hello, Audrey.
Hi, I have a question for you. I am in eighth grade, and I was wondering if you have any suggestions for me wanting to become a future vet.
Well, of course. I have a lot of kids that want to become a vet now. Yes, I hope that not everybody becomes a veterinarian because then we have a flood of veterinarians in the United States. But yes, if you're in eighth grade, make sure that you take all the subjects that you need to get into college. And your the high school... well, your advisor probably will be the best one to ask what you need to take for courses. The harder the courses, the better it is. And especially when you get into high school, make sure that you get all the math and all these courses that will help you later in life. And then, yes, start applying early. Of course, you have to do the pre-vet school, and that can be many also smaller colleges. But then do not apply to just one college. You know, if you look online, you start looking at colleges that you like and apply for as many as you can.
And get some experience.
Okay, thank you so much.
Get some experience working, volunteering at animal shelters. The more you can work with animals and show that you have experience working with animals, it looks really good on your college application, and it also looks good on a vet school application as well.
Of course it does. And yes, then you also know, if it is nice, if how you like to work with animals. Shelters, and if there's veterinarians in your area where you can volunteer, even if you have to clean cages, you still will be exposed to animals and make sure that you like what you're doing.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck, Audrey.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to our next caller. You're on with the incredible Dr. Pohl. This is Charles Pohl. Who are we speaking with?
Emma Pryor.
Hello, Emma. How are you?
Good.
And what is your question?
If you want to become a vet, can I work with you?
Yeah. I don't know how long it'll be. How old are you now?
Nine.
Emma, where are you calling from?
I'm your biggest fan.
Thank you. But where do you live, Dan? What state do you live in?
Georgia.
That's what I thought. I like your accent. It's almost as nice as mine.
There are a lot of girls from Georgia that seem to like that.
But yes, I'm not sure if I still will be in business by the time you graduate, because that will be another 15 years. I hope to be that long, but I don't know. These guys are working me pretty hard, so I hope to keep going that long. But anyway, good luck to you, Audrey. I hope you like being a vet.
Unfortunately, folks, that's all the time we have today, but we have more episodes of the Incredible Dr. Podcast coming your way soon. Remember, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The Incredible Dr. Podcast is not to be interpreted as medical advice to treat any condition in oneself, your pets, or animals, including but not limited to other veterinarians treating your animals. Nothing contained in this podcast is intended to create a physician-patient relationship or replace the services of a licensed health professional. Remember, always consult your veterinarian.